This program is provided by a trusted partner of the church and is educational, inspirational, and uplifting. It does not necessarily represent the official position of the church.
On December 1st, Joseph writes Emma and says, it's a short letter. Again, it's in his own handwriting. My dear companion, I take this opportunity to inform you that we arrived in liberty and committed to jail this evening, but we are all in good spirits. Captain Bogart will hand you this line. My respects to all. Remain as where you are at present. Yours, Joseph Smith, Jr. So that begins his incarceration here in Liberty Jail.
Coming up next on the Joseph Smith Papers.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormon Channel now presents the Joseph Smith Papers.
K-Jazz Television, in cooperation with the Church History Department of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, presents this weekly series highlighting the research of scholars and historians as they prepare for the publication of the Joseph Smith Papers. And now your host, Glenn Rawson.
With the staff and scholars of the Joseph Smith Papers, we've experienced something of a vicarious church history tour as they've traveled through New England, New York, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. Well, tonight, we continue that tour, and we go with them into Missouri. The early history of the Latter-day Saints in the state of Missouri begins in 1830 with missionaries on the first Lamanite mission, and it goes all the way up to 1839 when the Saints were finally driven from the state. The history of the Mormons here chronicles some of the most intense persecution that the Mormons ever received. Now, this is the public square at Independence, Missouri. This city was first settled in 1827, and it came to be known as the Queen City of Trails, referring to its location as the start of many immigrant trails to the west.
Max H. Parkin.
From this location, we have been the mother spot of the beginning of the Murchison's Santa Fe Trail, the Immigrants Oregon Trail, and a little later, the contingent known as the California Trail. This also is the westernmost county in the entire United States at the time. Consequently, all kinds of people came here to Jackson County, to Independence, to get away from the law. This was a tough town. Joseph the Prophet will come to Jackson County three times in his life. Once will be in 1831, when he will be informed by the Lord as to the location of Zion. The second trip, 1832, will be a business trip to manage some church business affairs. The third time he comes here is in 1838, under arrest, when he's, of course, brought here after the arrest in far west Missouri.
July the 20th, 1831. Joseph Smith was here and received a significant revelation.
I'd like to read to you just a couple of verses from that revelation. Section 57, verse 2. Wherefore, this is the land of promise and the place for the city of Zion. And thus saith the Lord your God, if you will receive wisdom, here is wisdom. Behold, the place which is now called Independence is the center place, and a spot for the temple is lying westward upon a lot which is not far from the courthouse, near the site where the prophet Joseph Smith dedicated this holy ground. There were 63 acres around us that he actually had Bishop Partridge purchase, and the temple or temples were to be based on these 60 or parts of these 63 acres, that being the center of that acreage where Joseph stood. In June of 1833, the prophet Joseph Smith has prepared a package of blueprints, we'll call them blueprints, designs, line drawings for Zion, for the city of Zion out here, and for the temples out here. And in that city plan, he identified, as Brother Olson indicated, 24 temples, no longer the one temple originally intended for this lot, but the 24 temples. In that city plan, the center tier of blocks were to be 15 acres in composition. The other blocks around the center tier were to be 10 acres.
It was August of 1833 when Joseph Smith sent to the Saints a second set of blueprints for the city of Zion.
The second package corrects the 15-acre strip of blocks in the middle and makes them 10 acres. And instead of having numbers 1 to 25 on those two center blocks, he has little houses or temples on them, 24 of them. And on the temple design instruction sheets, the temples are larger, but they're all Kirtland temples. But they're much bigger Kirtland temples. The Kirtland temple has a row of six windows on each floor. This temple, according to the design sent to them in August, was to have 9 windows on each side. It was a bigger temple.
If this concept of 24 temples seems a little foreign, well, consider this.
Come with me to Salt Lake City, West Temple, just west of the Temple Lot, or Temple Square there. What do I see? I see the Family History Library. I see the Church Museum. On Temple Square, I see the Tabernacle. I see the temple itself. I see the Visitor Center. Across the street, I see the Conference Center. Number these as I go along, if you will. Across the street, east of the Temple Square, I see the Church Tower. I see the Church Administration Building. I see the Relief Society Hall. This is what the Prophet Joseph is talking about in terms of the 24 temples here. He's a pragmatist. He's going to provide buildings to develop the growth of Zion.
It was also here in Independence, Missouri, on this public square, that a tragic and lawless tarring and feathering occurred.
400 to 500 men met on Saturday, July the 20th, 1833, to strongly demonstrate against the Mormons, to inform them that they're not welcome in the county and that they are to leave. So consequently, they sent a committee down to Bishop Partridge's house, which was located on the temple ground, escorted him up here, and tarred and feathered him here after having beaten him and tarred and feathered Charles Allen as well.
When the Mormons were driven out of Jackson County, they crossed the Missouri River and traveled north here into Clay County.
We're located here just 4 miles from the Clay County Courthouse and the Liberty Jail. We're located also about 3 miles, because the river varies, but about 3 miles from behind me, north of the Missouri River. The Missouri River, of course, goes from west to east, separating Clay County from Jackson County. The Latter-day Saints, when they were forced out of Jackson County, primarily came into this county. About 1,200 Latter-day Saints left Jackson County as they were forced away. About 1,000 of them came into this county, crossing the Missouri River.
The expulsion of the Saints from Jackson County in late 1833 provoked a significant church endeavor. The following year, a Latter-day Saint military unit traveled from Ohio to Missouri, the 900-mile march of Zion's camp.
Alexander L. Baugh.
During 1831 and from then on, Mormons are crisscrossing Illinois to get to Zion, back and forth. This is a real Mormon thoroughfare. And the Mormon company of Zion's camp entered the state of Illinois on May 25th. They came down into this area here and camped, and they're here by June 2nd. We have to say that according to George A. Smith's journal, this is where Joseph Smith also prophesied that a scourge would come upon the encampment because of their unruly and fractious spirits.
Joseph Smith highlighted the journey in a letter to his wife, Emma, dated June the 4th, 1834.
He says, "The whole of our journey in the midst of so large a company of social, honest, and sincere men," and here's what he says, "wandering over the plains of the Nephites, recounting occasionally the history of the Book of Mormon." Here he goes on. "Roving over the mounds of that once beloved people of the Lord, picking up their skulls and their bones as a proof of its divine authenticity, meaning the divine authenticity, the Book of Mormon, and gazing upon a country, the fertility, the splendor, and the goodness so indescribable, all serves to pass away time unnoticed. And in short, were it not at every now and then our thoughts linger, and the expressible anxiety for our wives and our children, our kindred according to the flesh who are entwined around our hearts, and also our brethren and friends, our whole journey would be as a dream.
Zion's camp continued on into Missouri, where a revelation was later received disbanding the camp. Now, while they were camped here on Rush Creek, cholera struck them, and many died. In order to abate the spread of the disease, Joseph Smith ordered the camp to split up, and a portion of the men came here to the Michael Arthur farm.
13 of the members of Zion's camp will die of cholera at the Rush Creek site. Now, the Rush Creek site is just 2 miles east of Liberty. We know the site. It's significant because George A. Smith, Heber C. Kimball record that they buried some of the cholera victims on the bank of a little stream that emptied into Rush Creek. It is here at this site that Zion's camp was discharged by the Prophet Joseph Smith and his general, Lyman White.
Now, as we already mentioned, the Latter-day Saints were driven out of Jackson County in late 1833. They crossed the Missouri River and came into Clay County. By late 1837, however, the Missouri legislature created a new county, especially for the Mormons farther to the north. It was called Caldwell County, and the Mormons began to settle there. Then, in January of 1838, Joseph Smith was driven out of Kirtland, Ohio, and he came 900 miles here to far west Caldwell County, Missouri. And this area became the headquarters of the church.
Richard L. Anderson.
On July 4th, 1838, they had raised a flagpole here with an American flag on the top, and they themselves knew they had the right of liberty and freedom. It was shattered by a bolt of lightning into slivers. But as I remember Joseph Smith's comment, somebody said, "There goes our liberty," because they knew they were on the spot here. Their backs were to the wall.
For several of the principal characters of early Mormonism, this area became the termination of their association, some by death and others by apostasy.
There are 11 witnesses of the Book of Mormon, and 7 of them are buried within a 50-mile radius of this point where we stand. Peter Whitmer Jr. and Christian Whitmer, the oldest brother, are buried in Clay County, we think. And so the two other witnesses were buried in the 1850s, Hiram Page and Jacob Whitmer. One witness is buried to my back about, 15 miles at Kingston, in the Kingston burial ground, and that's John Whitmer. And John owned the whole farm to my back. His last known act was to go to a country schoolhouse in this area and bear testimony of the Book of Mormon. He loved the church. He didn't know how to serve it. They didn't know how to come back, many of them. 3 witnesses were expelled from the church not far from where we are. But in March of 1838, John Whitmer and W.W. Phelps were excommunicated. John Whitmer went out unwillingly and almost as though he didn't know what happened. Oliver Cowdery and David Whitmer were excommunicated the next month. Oliver on the 12th of April of 1838 and David the following day.
It was intended that the city of Far West would resemble in its design Joseph Smith's original plan for the city of Zion in independence. In accordance with that plan, Far West would be a city with a temple at the center.
The Lord said in section 117, "The ground upon which thou standest is holy," and referring to the Far West temple site. August 8, 1836, down at the Lexington Land Office, John Whitmer and W.W. Phelps purchased this site that we're on right here. It was 1 mile square. We're sitting right in the very center of that square mile, 640 acres. And this is the northeast quadrant of the public square. Why is Far West sacred and special to Latter-day Saints? This is the headquarters of the church. This is the fourth headquarters of the church. First one, of course, is Fayette. Second is Kirtland. Third, technically, Hiram, Ohio, when Joseph moves down there. And then beginning on March 14th, 1838, this becomes the headquarters of the church with the arrival of Joseph Smith. And it's technically the headquarters for exactly 11 months because Brigham Young and the Quorum of the Twelve pull out of here on the 14th of February, 1839, exactly 11 months later. When Joseph first came here on March 14th, we are pretty sure he lived with George Washington Harris and his wife, Lucinda Morgan Harris.
There were seven canonized revelations that came in this area, one of which officially changed the name of the church to what it is today.
The first one, of course, is section 113 about the Isaiah 11 interpretation and also Isaiah 52. That was given in April, probably at the George Washington Harris home and the Lucinda Morgan Harris home. That was probably the April, again, in April. In March, we have, of course, section 114, David Patton's revelation to prepare to go on a mission there the following spring. The most important one for our sake today is section 115, which names the church, calls for the gathering to take place here, and for the temple site to be dedicated. Then we have section 117, calling Oliver Granger to go back to Kirtland, settle some of the affairs of the church, and also to get Newell K. Whitney and William Marks to come to the Far West and to leave Kirtland. We also have section 118, the mission call of the 12 to go to Great Britain. We can talk more about that in a minute. And then section 119, the law of tithing, and section 120, the disposition on the council of tithes.
It was here that ground was broken and a temple site was dedicated. But because of the extermination order issued by Missouri Governor Lilburn W. Boggs, the Mormons were driven out and this temple was never built.
What kind of temple was it to be? Well, it was to be a Kirtland-like temple. Interestingly, the actual size is 110 feet by 80 feet. By comparison, the Kirtland Temple is 79 feet by 59 feet, so it's a little larger than the Kirtland Temple. It was planned to be a little larger, and the Nauvoo Temple is 128 feet by 88 feet, so just slightly smaller than the Nauvoo Temple.
July the 4th, 1838, it was here, on this ground, that the cornerstones of the Far West Temple were dedicated. And people came on that day from all over the county to witness the event.
Joseph Smith opened the ceremony with prayer. And then they laid each of the cornerstones. The first one that was dedicated was the southeast cornerstone by the Missouri Presidency. They were assisted by 12 men, and you see those stones, you can see why. They're about 7 feet long, 4 feet wide, and about 2 feet thick. Some of them have been broken, possibly over the years, just due to erosion and other things. The southwest cornerstone was then dedicated by the presidents of the Elders Quorum, assisted by 12 men. The northwest by Bishop Partridge, assisted by 12 men. And then the northeast, right over here, dedicated by the teachers, president of the teachers, assisted by 12 men. This is when Sidney Rigdon gave the famous July 4th sermon, which really caused a lot of problems. It's quite an incredible speech in many ways, but towards the end, of course, it became quite inflammatory and was interpreted by the Gentiles, I guess, to be a war between the Mormons and the Missourians. So not a good call there.
February 1838, Lyman White came up into this area about 15 miles north of Far West, and he settled and built a ferry on the river. Later, Joseph Smith visited here, and he named this area Adam on Diamond, because of its ties to Father Adam.
I would just estimate maybe at the height 1,200 Mormons in Davies County and Adamondiaman, maybe 1,500 total at most. We have Joseph Smith coming up here frequently. We can count at least 11 times he's here. And so the first time he's up here is probably the one that's most significant in terms of the fact that he is visiting Lyman White at his cabin. It's cabin number one. We can kind of eyeball it. It's about 400 yards from Tower Hill. And that is where DNC section 116 was given or received. It's recorded in the Scriptory book. It's our shortest revelation in the Doctrine and Covenants. And but of course it describes there as the place being where the Ancient of Days shall again come.
As a result of the Mormon War in late 1838, the Saints were driven out of northern Missouri and settled primarily in western Illinois. Then, April the 26th, 1839, just after midnight, Brigham Young and members of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles came here. And in spite of the threat, they ordained two new apostles and set out on their epic mission for Great Britain.
By that time, by the way, we only have 10 apostles with Willard Richards in England. But they do come back here, 5 of the 12, and then ordain George A. Smith and Wilford Woodruff apostles right on that cornerstone. As I mentioned, Orson Pratt comes back here with Joseph F. Smith. Edward Stevenson, Joseph Smith Black, and Andrew Jensen came here in 1888. They offered a little dedicatory prayer right on the southeast cornerstone, and dedicated this site again unto the Lord.
That same Mormon war in northern Missouri led to the arrest and imprisonment of Joseph Smith and about 50 others. When the legal hearings were finally over, the Mormon prophet and five others were imprisoned here. From December the 1st, 1838, all the way to April 6th, 1839. This is the jail at Liberty, Clay County, Missouri.
The imprisonment of Joseph Smith did not start here. It started in Far West. It goes to Independence, over to Richmond, and then here, and then technically ends in Gallatin. So this is the middle stopping point of Joseph's imprisonment and the other Mormon prisoners. He'll be in this jail 128 days, 4 months and 6 days to be exact. Joseph Smith, Sidney Rigdon, Parley Pratt, Lyman White, and George W. Robinson were arrested and taken into custody by the Missouri State Militia on the 31st of October, 1838, at Goose Creek, about a mile and a half southeast of Far West.
Gordon A. Madsen.
What was the legal procedure that caused their incarceration? And the answer is they were charged with treason. Treason is an offense against a nation, not a state. So Austin King had no legal basis to charge him with treason, which explains why Jeff said they understood after the fact how difficult it was going to be to prove such a charge. Why, then, did Austin King make it? The answer is, he needed to hold some hostages until the Mormons had been driven out of the state.
Most of their time was spent conversing with each other, although through the middle of February, they had constant visitors right here. Some time was spent reading, and they had a lot of thinking time. Joseph even notes that he obtained some law books and began the study of law. Their food was filthy, as Hiram called it. He said that poison was given them on 3 or 4 occasions in their drinks. They slept on straw and had blankets, although they complained of not having enough blankets. And Joseph later complained about that. And Emma said she couldn't send any more because McClellan had robbed their house of all their blankets. Occasionally, they'd lit a fire downstairs, but the room would fill with smoke. Honey buckets were their latrine. They remained in the same clothes for days. Their personal appearance soon became very ill and haggard-looking. One or more of them were always or constantly sick, with nausea, fever, headaches, body aches, earaches, and frazzled nerves.
The reason I was standing here is I wanted permission to stand down there to show you. Joseph Smith was, I used to be 6 feet three. I shrunk to about 6 feet two. Joseph was 6 feet. If I would have been permitted to stand down there, you would have discovered I couldn't have stood straight up underneath that roof. Joseph Smith could only stand erect when that hole in the door, hole in the ceiling, was out. If he stood in the hole, he could stand straight up. The rest of the time, he is perforce stooping if he's standing.
Jeffrey N. Walker.
These boys desperately wanted to go home. And so they would start strategizing whether they could find a way to escape, whether they could rush the guards. Joseph proposed it. Others decided that they weren't willing to follow through, even though they watched that it looked like it could work. And when they finally did try it, it didn't work as well as they wanted. And then there was punishment. I mentioned that they also tried to dig their way out, which was going to be a daunting task, as you can see how they constructed this jail. The builders were thinkers, and they said, well, if they bore through a wall, let's just fill it with rubble rocks so that they would have to pull all the rock out in these middle wall because the rocks would keep falling in and filling up that void.
Paradoxically, it was out of this pit that something of great value to the Latter-day Saints came. It was a letter, an epistle, really, dictated by Joseph Smith toward the end of his stay here. Parts of that letter became sections 121, 2, and 3 of the Doctrine and Covenants.
Robert J. Woodford.
Mail delivery came in bundles. And so on the 19th of March, 1839, there came letters from Edward Partridge, Emma Smith, and from Joseph's two brothers, Don Carlos and William. And he answered immediately. And so on the 20th of March, he began a two-part letter that took at least 5 days to finish. About in the mid-1870s, Orson Pratt received an assignment from Brigham Young in the First Presidency to work on the scriptures. And as part of that, in 1876, they published the 1876 edition of the DNC, which included 26 additional revelations that had never been in the book before, including 121, 122, and 123, extracted from these letters.
Next week on the Joseph Smith Papers, it's on to Illinois.
The final word then is from the Doctrine and Covenants that Joseph and Hiram lived for glory, they died for glory, and glory is their eternal reward. And before we leave to go back to our homes this week, I must read this verse 49 from the 132nd section. This is the last section that was recorded during Joseph's life. For I am the Lord thy God, and will be with thee even unto the end of the world and through all eternity. For verily I seal upon you your exaltation and prepare a throne for you in the kingdom of my father with Abraham your father.
You've been listening to the Joseph Smith Papers here on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.